And you've recently gotten into renting. Well, you speculate in real estate. Is that correct?
Well, we do when you say speculate, Phil, we don't buy large commercial properties. We do purchase homes. We do purchase townhomes, apartment buildings.
And why do you do that? Obviously, real estate speculation is ultimately to make a profit.
Well, we do own them to rent. Sometimes we do flip them, what we call in real estate, flipping them or selling them. In other words, you buy it and you improve the property, then you sell it. And it's really my business. Frank is not all that interested in real estate, but I love it. It's a great business because you have the opportunity to wheel and deal, but you feel good that maybe you're providing a home for someone. And certainly in the last year, it's been fairly lucrative in California and elsewhere. You want to be able to rent to families and help them get a start, a young couple.
So you're selling, you're not selling so much as you're renting them.
That is correct, yes.
All right, I wanted to ask you, today we see more and more single-parent homes, a father or a mother, a single parent with one or more children. Are you seeing more renters like that?
Yes, I have seen that. I've seen a few, and I have to be honest with you, I'm very careful with them.
Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, you don't see a lot of single fathers with custody of their children. When you do, you know, your heart goes out to them a little bit. A father alone with his children, and of course he's working, but I worry a little more about the single mother, as do many landlord owners or rental agents.
Why?
Well, it's a little bit of a horse of a different color. Single mothers present a little bit of a different challenge. If I'm renting, I need to be assured that the financial situation is secure. When you're a single mother of, let's say, two or more children, and it's a little difficult to ask, but you want to find out if the children are all from the same man, and I'll tell you why.
You ask them if the children are all from the same man. You know, that reminds me of my sister was actually babysitting some kids, and somebody wanted to know, are those your kids, or are they all the same father?
Well, it's not a question you ask to insult anyone. When you see a single mother with two or more children, it is a logical question to ask, are these all children from the same man? And I'll tell you why. In terms of making sure the rent is met, it is not likely that she's getting child support. If, for instance, she's in the habit of sleeping with different men, it's none of my business, but it does create a lack of consistency. The other consideration is that...
Well, if a woman is the mother of children who are the children of other... of more than one man, you're making the assumption that she's in the habit of sleeping with a lot of different men?
It is something you need to consider. A single mother with children, all of these things you have to consider. And no, it's not a question you like to ask, no. But
What was the other consideration?
Well, most of these single mothers generally are in the service industry as cocktail waitresses, food servers. They work takeout windows. And if the job is minimum wage and they rely on their tips, if they are a husky-looking young lady or they haven't had great dental care or any of this sort of thing, it will be tough. Again, my responsibility is to make sure the rent is paid.
And so if she's relying on tip money...
If she's relying on tip money, that's something else you have to think of when renting to single mothers.
Margaret Gray joins us. We're talking about renting. I find this interesting, talking about single mothers and the hazards of renting to single mothers. Are they sleeping with a lot of different men, I guess, is the question, because
it is not a moral question, Phil. It has to do with whether they're able to make the rent if they're getting child support. It's doubtful if they're getting child support if they're sleeping with, as I said, if they're sleeping with a lot of men. I don't know the responsibility there.
And also if they have service industry jobs. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Single mothers with children are a little bit tougher to rent to. Aren't you kind of profiling here? Let me ask you.
Well, no, Phil, we're not.
No, let me ask you. When you're renting townhomes financially, it's a bit of a step up. The women, the single mothers that will want to rent from you might not be cocktail waitresses or something like that, right?
Well, that is true, but then when it comes to single mothers, you have other considerations as well. You have your other renters to consider. You want to look out for their comfort and their well-being, and to you know, you look, the look of, the, you know, some of my renters, a single mother is a woman who obviously is looking at some point for a man. And I don't want to rent to a woman who's going to be a threat to someone's marriage, what we used to call a home wrecker. I don't want a woman who is, you know, casting around and looking at other women's husbands. You move a single mother into a townhome development where there are a lot of...
Let me interrupt you here, Margaret, could I?
Certainly.
It sounds to me like you're profiling these women. In other words, you're saying, like, what a lot of people used to say about black people. Well, you know, they do this and they do that.
No, it's totally different. It's, no, Phil, that it is, it's an unfair comparison.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to rent to a black guy. Why? Well, because they're lazy and this and that.
No, that is wrong. You're absolutely... A single mother, it is not racism because we're talking about women that could be of any different ethnic persuasion. In other words, this is true of single mothers, whether they're black, white, brown, yellow, gray, or what have you. So no, it's entirely not the same thing.
All right, isn't it unfair, though, to single mothers to say that their intent is to steal some woman's husband? You know.
Well, I'll tell you what's unfair is if you rent to one of these single mothers, and to be nice, you didn't charge her a security deposit. And in the case of this one mother that we rented to, she had two children. The carpeting near the front door was basically threadbare as the result of a parade of men going in and out of the townhouse. And I know it sounds harsh.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, if you've got four children...
No, I know it sounds... A woman can do whatever she wants. Either they're entertaining men at some unreasonable hour, or to comfort themselves, they let the kids sleep in the bed with them, and the room begins to smell. You can't get the smell out of the drapes. The carpeting suffers. We had this one mother who rented from us, and the child was a bedwetter. And it took six steam cleans to get the stink out. And I can tell you...
All right, look, if I can...
No, I can tell you, Phil, this doesn't have anything to do with profiling, though. Because, again, profiling is racism. And even for you to bring that up...
I don't mean to offend you, Ms. Gray.
But I think it does send the wrong message when you bring that up.
No, I don't mean to... And I'm not trying to send a message that you're a racist. I just simply asked if you say that single mothers... Now, you're saying that the carpeting in this house was threadbare because, quote, of a parade of men coming... I mean, isn't that a little harsh?
You know what, Phil, as the man said, I make them, I don't repair them, you know. Is it harsh? Yes. Is it true? Yes. She's a single mother looking for an active social life. In this particular instance, the other couples in the complex certainly wanted to befriend her. But it's obvious when the woman is alone and you are a married woman and you see this single woman move in, it's obvious that she's casting around looking to sink a...
We interrupt this segment of The Phil Hendry Show to let you know you've just been listening to tape. Yes, tape. Tape comes in many sizes and many shapes, but its most valued commodity is it fills in for technical difficulties. The Phil Hendry Show usually hits the air at 6 after the hour. The network is live. But this evening, because of technical difficulties, because there was absolutely no power to our studio, we had to roll tape. But we are now live. And now, a man who many have said revolutionized the art of radio... A man who is currently playing this electric guitar. A man who I love. Love very deeply. Here is Phil Hendry. Thanks, me. Well, welcome. I'm sorry, if you were listening to that opening segment and you were all hot and bothered about listening to a repeat, guess what, baby? We are live. We had to roll a little bit of tape there because the studio had some kind of a cardiac arrest. There was no power, you know, no electricity. However, we've got it back, and we are on the air tonight. Now, we are going to have this evening a very special visit from a gentleman who has
part of a neighborhood watch. He isn't with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, although we are going to be hearing from Jay Santos. This gentleman believes that a house of prostitution of ill fame is right in his neighborhood. And he took it upon himself to do something about it. And guess what? We're off the air. Please enjoy the music.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have had a series of technical problems in our studio, but I think they've been solved. David G. Hall joins us right now, our Vice President of Syndication. Have you been in technical operations, David?
Phil, I have, and I've been talking to Jeff and Janet, and they seem to feel that things are under control. However, if for whatever reason we do lose power again tonight, people will have to return to enjoying another Phil Hendry tape. There's really no other way of saying it. It's tape. And tape is, by its very nature, an insult to the listener. I have often said that...
Wait a minute, man. What do you mean it's an insult? Tape on my show, I think replaying some of our bits, maybe most radio shows...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you're special. Okay, well, in any event...
What's with the sarcasm?
Look, nobody wants to hear tape. No one wants to hear tape, especially the people that listen to your show. Some of these people, I get emailed from them. These people are mentally deficient. They listen to everything that you do. They, if they could, they'd stick a glass up to the wall and listen to you have a bowel movement, if you really want to get into it.
Well, no, I don't want to get into it, and I wasn't asking you about that.
Well, the fact is they know when it's tape. That's why I say it's an insult.
What about new listeners? Can we talk a little bit about new listeners? People that have never heard the show before, that have never heard the bits before?
Who?
New listeners.
New listeners? Hey, is Bud there?
Yeah, he's right here.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Get that one, new listeners.
This retard doesn't even know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about, new listeners? All I'm saying to you is, when we roll these bits, people go, okay, Hendry's throwing tape up. What is he doing tonight? Is it a dancer? Is he cheating on his wife? Is he out with another...
No, wait a minute, man. That's because we had a technical problem tonight.
Well, we did have a technical problem tonight. You're right about that, so I apologize. But in the future, when people hear tape, I want you all to know that Phil is probably out with his thumb shoved in his rear end. Thank you, and good night.
Would he hang up?
Yeah, he's done. Darth Hall is done.
Don't call him Darth Hall.
He wants to be called Darth.
I ain't calling him Darth Hall, and neither are you. Anyway, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us here tonight. What is this?
We now return to the Phil Hendry Network Live. I'm Bud Dickman.
Turn it off, Bud.
This is the rejoin music.
Get the rejoin. That's rejoin music? You mean when the network goes dark?
We got to rejoin with that.
All right. Anyway, folks, we are back.
Phil Hendry Show now rejoins live in progress.
Anyway.
Not yet.
What do you mean not yet? Turn it off. Anyway, as I was saying, there...
From across the sea and around the world and... Ow!
All right, so rejoin music. I got something you can rejoin. Dangling. All right, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, a man who believes a house of prostitution is operating in his own neighborhood, his own suburban enclave, his own pastoral, leafy green enclave. He believes right next door to him are women of ill repute operating a house of prostitution. We'll be talking to him, and we'll be hearing his wild story. Jay Santos will be joining us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is going to be interesting tonight because Jay is going to tell us about how he actually did apply to the Redondo Beach Police Department and why he doesn't want to be a cop, why he'd rather be a dude who's, you know, doing his thing, which is the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we're also going to read a little bit of our email tonight. We got some more of that stuff. And we might try to get a couple of cuts in from our best of CDs, only because we are doing a webcast on Friday. That's 3-4 days away. If you want to listen to our, if you want to watch our webcast, that's because it's called a webcast. It's going to be for view on the internet. You can go to our website at www.philhendryshow.com and click on the banner that says, you know, webcast or something like that. Let me just get over to the website, make sure I know what the hell it is I'm talking about. But there's a big banner at the top of the page, and it'll tell you how to sign up for the webcast, how to sign up for a backstage pass, which does give you access to the entire thing, man. The whole website, our archived junk. There's also a really nice picture of a couple of Florida State fans, and the caption says, "As I've always said, I love Florida State deeply and passionately." Did you see the picture? It was sent to me by Coach Jags. Hey, Jags, I want to say this as delicately as I can, but I guess you like being single. Now, anyway, good God. 1 minute the cat's buried, the next minute he's sending me these Florida State. Do you see those? You think that that's actually what shows up at the game, or is that just some kind of a pose shot? Very nice. Bud's supposed to have his babe of the week up. Who's your babe of the week this week, Bud?
I forget. Oh, Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson. Get this, though. It's Pamela Anderson without makeup.
What are you talking about? She looks wonderful.
You couldn't have found a less flattering picture of Pamela Anderson. She's got no makeup on. She looks like she's just getting over a five-day bender. It doesn't even look like her. What is it with you, man?
Are you trying to tell me that Pamela Anderson isn't hot?
I ain't saying she's not hot, but the picture you put up there of her, she looks like she's just crawled out of bed, man. No makeup. She ain't the best-looking woman in the world with no makeup, I'm sorry to have to say. And that one you had of Christina Aguilera, are you sure that's her? Because without any makeup on, she looks like Jewel. I'm not kidding you, man. And the one of Britney Spears without any makeup, let me just say this. I feel that I have the right to make this comment because some people, I get email from people saying, hey, Fatso, where do you get off telling people that they don't, you know, they ain't good looking? Dude, I don't live my, you know, my image ain't about my looks. You want to knock the sound of my voice, you're welcome to do that. It ain't, I'm not out there selling my face. You see what I'm saying? So if I'm selling my show, so you can say the show sucks. But yeah, so I'm fat. So what? I ain't running around saying I'm hot. Well, not to just anybody. But if you're out there and you're saying, hi, I'm sex on freaking wheels, and then they publish a picture of you and the caption ought to be die, monster, die, then I feel I have a right to comment. If you say Britney Spears is hot, really? How come I'm looking at a picture of her and she looks like she's storing nuts for the winter, man? She's got freaking she's got cheeks on her, Jim. Looks like she swallowed two freaking watermelons. I mean, seriously, that one picture of her without any makeup is just all like just this bloated out kid. Like I say bloated out kid, what I mean to say is little too much alcohol. Then the one of Christina Aguilera, although I love her, so there's not a picture of her that I wouldn't take home and hide someplace for future use. And then, you know, just a little spank bank, that's all. And then you got this picture of Pamela Anderson. Imagine, you guys can relate to this. You know that really hot-looking woman that you knew, that you lived with her after about 3 weeks, and now to see now the makeup, and now you're getting a look at her, kiss her when she's mad at you, and you're getting a look at her when she's all unhappy and everything. And that's what she looks. She looks like that really hot chick that you met and moved in with. And now it's like 3 months later and she suddenly realizes that she's got, you know, you don't really want to do anything other than watch football. That's what the picture of that you picked of Pamela Anderson, Bud.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. OK. Well, you're right, man. I mean, I'm not going to. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We have some stuff to deal with. Mr. R.C. Collins is on the line from Bradley Military Academy.
Briefly.
Jay Santos, and tonight, a man trying to get a brothel out of his neighborhood. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Good evening. I'm Don Feeble, and this is Animal Rights on the Move. Don Feeble's Animal Rights on the Move. Brought to you by Sheba Gourmet and your local veterinary hospital. We've got a lot to kick around tonight here on Animal Rights on the Move. I'm Don Feeble. I'll be joined in studio in a moment by Bill Hemingway, Doris DeLeer, Jim Jackson, Susan Antoinette, Simi Perkins, and Bill Bolfinella.
All of these people took part in an attempted liberation last night. Something happened last night, and maybe you can tell me, Bill, right off the bat, that we are used to seeing animals abused in the work that we are in, trying to save animals from the abuse of humans. But we've never seen anything like this, have we?
No, we haven't. I will tell you this, Don. I've worked with you. How long have we known each other? You know, your wife and my wife, they knew each other, right?
They did, yeah.
And so we'd have barbecues.
I'd say probably about 15 years.
15 years. I've never seen anything like this. Two dogs. Both of these dogs apparently were little, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were little bulldogs. One was a male, the other's a female. The male's called Bobby, the female's Gracie. Now, apparently, the scum that owns these dogs decided they were going to have a little wedding ceremony.
Doesn't it remind you of the Nazis getting their kicks, beating people before they put them in cattle cars?
Yeah, it does. The walking, breathing, ambulating scum that married these two dogs, and they had 70 humans watching and getting their cheap kicks marrying dogs.
What do you think of that, folks? I mean, how low do you want to crawl? Do you want to crawl in a wagon wheel rut right along next to the snake? Or do you want to be lower than whale dung? Marrying two dogs. Dogs don't get married. Dogs mate sometimes, and sometimes they play. They don't marry. But anthropomorphizing animals like this makes the humans that did this lower than any Nazi war criminal that I can think of. We are officially saying, if you marry dogs for your cheap kicks, if you put them out on the beach there with a little ark, and you have a guy come in from the local church, and he marries the dogs, and the dogs are two dumb animals, they don't know what's happening to them, then I believe you belong right there next to the worst Nazi war criminals. This has been Animal Rights on the Prowl. To the scum that married these two dogs, we're coming for you. Don't worry about it. And now, here's Mary with today's animal story.
His name was Tiger. He was a wonderful pet. One day, when I went to feed him, he mauled my face completely off my skull. You see, Tiger was a tiger. He wasn't a cat. He was a real tiger that I tried to domesticate, like a walking turd. Tiger was a wild animal that I tried to turn into a house cat. And today, my face is stitched on upside down.
Thanks, Doc. Animal Rights on the Prowl. A presentation of Milkbone for your dog's dietary needs. We'll be back. Maybe.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let's go to RC. RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, great show as always, Mr. Hendry. Thanks, and just a big hello to everybody from Bradley Military Academy.
Thank you.
When you was talking, or that man was talking about animal rights, did you hear about Howard Steinsman, Howard Stern resigned?
Howard Stern?
Yeah, Howard Stern resigned. Did you hear? Huh, Mr. Hendry, did you hear?
Yes, I heard. I heard that he's moved on to Sirius, yes.
Well, they're auditioning people to take over his show, and I really think that I fit the bill. I mean, I want to be in the military, but I want to do a morning show, too, and I could do his material. I can do shock radio, too, and I wrote something, if I could sing it for you.
Just make sure it's clean, man. And what do you mean, sing it? How long is it?
It's only a couple of seconds. Are you familiar with the song Puppy Love?
Puppy Love. How's it go?
And they call it Puppy Love, just on account of we're 13.
Yeah, I know that song.
Okay, listen to this. And they call it Doggy Style, just on account of we do it like two dogs. And
thank you very much.
Well, you ain't hanging up on me, are you?
Jesus.
I told him you're going to hang up on him.
Well, then why didn't you just hang up on him yourself? And they call it doggy style. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we will be talking extensively with a gentleman who believes there is a brothel operating in his neighborhood, and he tried to do something about it, and guess what? As usual, law-abiding citizens. Do you think the law is on our side, friends? No. The criminal always gets away. Now, I thought this is actually a true story, but last night I'm online. This is kind of apropos of nothing. I think somebody needs to lead in with some Hitler material. I don't know. Is Jeff Dowder? Could you get Jeff on the line?
Yeah, what?
Just tell him I need him to call in with something having to do with World War II.
Okay, hold on.
Anyway, folks, it's been a nice day here.
Oh, Jeff? Yeah, it's Jeff Dowder.
Would you shut up, man, while I'm doing this?
What?
Would you shut up while I'm doing this if you're calling him?
You want me to call him, don't you?
I don't want to hear you doing it. Anyway, it was a really nice day today in the city.
Phil wants you on the radio. Can you do it?
What did I just get done saying to you, man?
Hold on for a minute. You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking. Just put him up, will you? Hey, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Henry, Jeff Dowder. How you been?
Good.
Hey, Mr. Henry, I don't know if you heard, but there's been some information that's come up, and it's pretty bizarre, and I don't know whether or not you heard it about it. But it has to do with Adolf Hitler and his mistress, Eva Braun. Apparently now, and it's kind of weird, and I don't know if you want me to mention it or anything.
No, go ahead.
Apparently, he liked Eva Braun to, shower him. Give him a shower, you know.
You mean like...
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Where'd you hear that?
But the funny thing of it is, it's in Mein Kampf. It's right there how he digs it that way. You know,
what do you mean it's in Mein Kampf?
It is, man. Hitler talks about how he wanted her to, you know, tap a kidney on him. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? He wrote Mein Kampf before he ever met her.
Well, it was his other girlfriend.
He was in prison when he wrote Mein Kampf.
I think it was Hermann Göring. You know, they had the Luftwaffe. He said, go ahead and Herman, escort it. So,
thank you very much.
You wanted me to call him with Hitler material.
All right, so what is he talking about, man?
You want him to call in?
Well, how about with something true?
He says it is.
Look at man, I don't care if he says that it is. That guy smokes so much freaking cannabis sativa. That guy's got such a rosin-loaded brain. Hitler put down in Mein Kampf how he likes a shower from Eva. Yeah, that's right, man. That's what he put down there, all right.
By the way, apropos of nothing, but I thought I'd just throw in here in Chapter 6.
So anyway, I'm online last night. Now, my father, when I was growing up, he talked about being in World War II, and I said, yeah, that's great, Dad. You know, when you're a little kid, you really worship your father. And then later in life, I got to know my dad a little bit better, and I realized my dad was a big bullcrap artist. He was full of more crap. But I don't mean to disrespect him. He's my dad, so I can say anything I want about him. And I loved him, but, you know, the cat was a little bit, how do we say, kind of played it fast and loose a little bit sometimes with the truth. But I'm online last night, and every now and again, I would enter his name into a search engine, Herbert L. Hendry. Nothing comes up. Or Herbert Hendry, nothing comes up. To find out about a little bit about his wartime record. Well, last night I said, you know, he was always known as Herb Hendry. That was my dad's name. I mean, that's what people knew him as. So I entered that into a search engine, and lo and behold, I found a website. And there it was in black and white. Now, my old man was in the Canadian Army in the Irish Regiment. And it was a regiment attached to an armored division or something. And right there in this website, I'm looking at this. And it says, near San Alberto, Italy, in January of 1945, Captain Herb Hendry's B Company, moving up through the positions of the A Company, took a bridgehead, took 27 German POWs, and killed 5. Now, he had this little Luftwaffe patch in the den. It was a patch of the German Air Force with a swastika on it. And I said, where'd you get that, Dad? He says, he told me, well, I took it off a German POW. Now, I always, as the older I got, the more full of crap I thought he was. I thought, yeah, right. You bought it at a freaking flea market over at the Rose Bowl. Get out of here. Took it off a Kraut.
So there it was in black and white. Captain Herb Henry, Irish Regiment, which is the one he was in. He was commanding B Company. And there were two companies attacking this bridge. And he and the other company moved up through the positions of the two preceding. And they took this Limone, I think was the bridgehead, taking POWs and killing Germans. And so I think that's probably where he got it. Because he told me he took it off of a German POW. So then I went further into the looking at the Canadian Army, and there were all the places in Italy that the Irish Regiment, the Armored Division, had been that he said he was at. And there was even one place where B Company, the other Canadian companies had made it across into German positions. B Company got pushed back. They had gone ahead, and they encountered heavy resistance, and they got pushed back. And they have a list of all of the casualties, the KIAs and the guys that got injured. So it was pretty, I'll tell you what it did for me. You know, if you got a relationship with your father like I have with mine, if you had a father who was a little bit of a, you know that song by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Daddy Was a Sailor? Well, now you know what I'm talking about. You know how the song goes, Daddy was a sailor, used to chase the pretty girls? Yeah, that was my old man. So he was a good guy, but he was a real, he wasn't much as a father, and he really wasn't much as a provider. In fact, I don't think he was much as a husband. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure what my old man did well. However, there it was in black and white. At one time in his life, he did something good. And it was during the Second World War, and I was relieved. I was relieved, because you thinking, Jesus, you know, this guy, I'm going to have to live down everything. And I saw this. Look at this. One period of his life, for 3 years, he was in Europe. And he did a good thing. He fought these Nazis. So, make a long story short, I'm going to write a book, and then I'll do a movie script. And I'd really like to get Bruce Willis, but I'm sure he's tied up. Herb Henry, soldier. In a time when the world was unraveling, one man took a bridgehead and 27 Kraut POWs. A film by Phil Hendry, starring Bruce Willis, Julia Roberts, and Jerry Mathers as the Beaver Cleaver. In a world gone mad, one man, one Canadian, one German, one war, no money, Canadian.
A Phil Hendry presentation.
Rated R for extreme violence and language. Now playing at the Cineplex downtown. All right. What do you think? So I'll write that book. You know, I still have a relationship with Judith Reagan. Not so as you'd notice. I mean, I'm sure if I called Judith Reagan, hi, it's Phil Hendry.
I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Hold on. Ms. Reagan, Phil Hendry. Okay. You know what? She's in a meeting.
She's bleeding? I didn't hear that. Oh, aren't you funny? All right, coming up. A man who is trying to keep prostitution out of his neighborhood. Good God. There she is. There's the whore now. Listen to her. She's singing for you. Oh, Jesus. That's horrifying. To quote Telly Savalas in The Dirty Dozen, shut that cheap wailing slut up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, let me talk to this guy. Yes, sir?
Hi, Phil. I was listening to the conversation you were having about it, Hitler. There is some substantial, it's anecdotal, about Hitler enjoying that kind of perversion.
Urination on him.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Well, how did you find that out?
Well, one night I was online, and I just happened to Google in Hitler, Mein Kampf, and urinating. And
what do you mean you just happened to Google it in?
Well, hold
on for a minute. What possesses a man to put into a search engine the words Hitler, Mein Kampf, and urinating?
I wanted to see if there was anything that I don't want to say that I'm not an admirer of his. I just don't want him and me to have nothing in common. That's all.
And you don't want him and you to have anything in common, so you wrote in Hitler, Mein Kampf, and urination?
That's correct, yes. And I also, okay, if you're going to laugh, I also wrote in Hitler, Mein Kampf, and bowling. So
yeah, well, I understand he liked bowling.
No, he did not. See, that's a lie. See, that's wrong of you to say.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. I also Googled in Hitler, Mein Kampf, and bowling, just in case. Hey, hey, Tom, do that. Hitler, Mein Kampf, and bowling. Just, no, I'm kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.